All right, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my passion project. My passion project is I am what you would consider an emerging critical race theorist. I am currently at Loyola full-time. Woohoo! Any Greyhounds in the house? All right. So what I do is I teach about race and how it impacts teaching and learning, which is pretty interesting when you're the black chick in the room with a predominantly white class, right? So conversations get a little thick, then get a little dicey, but we power through. But let me tell you how I got there, because I think that's a very interesting story. So imagine it's 1977, and this little chubby-faced young lady bounces down the steps of her East Baltimore row home, and she announces to her mother, "Mommy, I want to be a principal." And my mother looks at me and says, "No, baby, I think you want to be a teacher." And I look back at her and said, "Who runs the school?" She said, "Oh, yes, you do want to be a principal." So I matriculate through Baltimore City Public Schools, yay. In 1988, I graduate from Western High School, and I don't have a clear pathway to college. My mother was 15 when she gave birth to me. My father was 19, addicted to heroin when it wasn't fashionable. So no one really knew, right? How do we get this girl into college? So I did what most productive people do. I get a job. I get a job at Loyola as a secretary. It is 1988. I am making, you ready for this? $168 a week. I am balling out of control, right? I am big spending. So I'm at my desk one day, and my boss comes out to my desk, and she looks at me and says, "You are way too smart to be anybody's secretary." And I just look at her. She's like, you should be in college. And I just keep looking at her. And she's like, "Why don't you take some classes here at Loyola?" I said, "But these rich white folks, yeah, not so much. We don't have a lot in common, right?" So she says, "Okay, but I want you to think about it." So I said, look, if I go and take a class, will you just leave me alone? Because remember, $168, I'm good, right? We're good. And so I ended up enrolling in a Saturday class at Morgan State and love it. Just fall in love with college, right? But now I have to have a really difficult conversation because it's my mother and I, and I'm bringing a nice little piece of change home to the family budget. So not only do I have to say to Mom, yeah, that money I'm making we're not going to have anymore, but now we also need to figure out how we're going to do this whole college thing. So, you know, I sit my mom down, and she kind of looks at me like, "I've been waiting forever to have this conversation with you," and so we figure it out. So I graduate from Morgan. I end up teaching in Howard County, Baltimore County, Montgomery County. If you haven't figured out, I will travel the Beltway for a paycheck. Yes, I will, right? So in the meantime, I earn a master's degree in administration from Johns Hopkins. I'm teacher, I'm assistant principal, I'm principal, and I'm in Montgomery County, right? Long commute, but worth it. But then we're going to fast forward to 2009, and there is a freeze in Montgomery County, so they're really not hiring principals. I'm a principal intern, which means I've trained under a principal, I've run the school, but now I'm waiting for my own school, and there's a freeze. And I am irritated because remember in 1977, I want to be the principal. So I get a call from DC Public Schools, ring, ring, ring. "Hi, Adele, we've heard about your skill set. We think you would be a great match for DC Public Schools. Will you come and speak to us?" At that time, it was a young lady named Michelle Ree, who was chancellor of DC Public Schools. I hear some groans in the audience. Hold on, it gets better, right? So I get a call on Friday in Montgomery County. I'm literally in DC that Tuesday interviewing in front of five different schools, right? A week later, I am sitting in front of Michelle Ree. And for those of you who are not familiar, Michelle Ree has been on the cover of Time. She was on the cover of Newsweek. She was on Oprah. Oprah called her a warrior woman. And her claim to fame was she could take an urban school system and turn it around, right? So I'm sitting in front of her like I am fangirling big time. Like, "Oh my God, it's Michelle Ree." So she's like, "It's not a matter of where I'm going to put you. It's just how fast we can get you here." I am, okay, it's all happening, right? It's all happening. So they put me as principal of a school of a K-8. I am just like, yes. So I go in and sign my contract, and she says, "Well, we're going to give you $100,000 up front, and we'll give you a $30,000 signing bonus." I felt like A-Rod, because no new principal gets $100,000. Remember, I grew up in poverty in Baltimore City. Like, $100,000 plus $30,000? we can do this. We can so do this. So I tell people all the time, I can do two things really well. I can bake a mean cupcake. We're going to get to that. And I'm also an instructional leader. I can take a school and move them forward in a positive way, no matter what you give to me. So the school that they put me in had these great test scores, right? But they also had a high rate of poverty and a high population of students of color. And so I said to myself, we have an education, what we call 90-90-90 schools, 90% poverty, 90% students of color, 90% achievement. And looking at the test scores in front of me, I'm like, we're almost there. We can be a 90-90 school. They're already a blue ribbon school. So I show up at the school, and I'm just like taking it all in. And literally, in my school in D.C., you can stand on the front steps, and you can see the Capitol, right? We are like, we're there. So the kids come in, the staff comes in, and as a principal, I was taught that you are always in your school, you're always in, you know, you're in your classrooms giving feedback to teachers, you're in the cafeteria, you are a vital part of that school. So I'm doing what I was taught, and I'm going around the classrooms, and the instruction that I see is not the instruction that's needed for a blue ribbon school. So by this time, it is 2010, it's August, and so I'm just kind of taking it all in, right? So November of 2010, I stay late because I live in Catonsville, so I have a two-hour commute. By this time, I'm working on my dissertation. I have a six-year-old son. I have a husband. Like, I have all of this stuff going on. I'm a brand-new principal, so I stay late because I need to get things done, right? So I remember that I'm supposed to talk to my guidance counselor. So if you can't tell, I like heels. So I kick off my heels, and I run across the room to where the guidance counselor's office is, and I throw open the door, and I see three of my staff members, and I see student test books everywhere, right? And the thing that I notice is that pencil points are up. So if pencil points are up, what does that mean? Erasers are down. And so it just stuck, like, I am now in a Bugs Bunny cartoon. My heart is beating out of my chest because there were always little whispers. And now everything is just flooding to me. So I'm like, okay, Adele, calm down, play this off, go back to your office. So I go back to my office after I talk to my staff members. I wait a little while because, remember, I have a long commute back home. So I wait for about 45 minutes. I leave. I pull into a McDonald's, and I call number 2 and number 3 in charge of D.C. Public Schools. This is Principal Cawthorn. This is what I saw. Both people tell me, don't worry. We have it covered. You're okay. Don't worry. And so I continue to show up work for which was one of the hardest years of my life. Like, it was just crazy the things my staff was putting me through, because I learned 5 years later from a news reporter that the night that I saw the cheating take place, emails were flying all across D.C. Principal Cawthorn knows. She knows. What are we going to do? Principal Cawthorn knows. So fast forward to May of 2011, I knew I had to get out of D.C. There was no question. But I'm saying to myself, Adele, they're going to blame it on you. They're going to say she's new. She was from Montgomery County. She didn't know how to run urban schools. So protect your teaching certificate, right? Protect your licensure. So I go to talk to lawyers, and I vetted these lawyers because I'm like, oh, you can't just choose anybody, because if you've ever worked in D.C., it's quite incestuous. Everybody knows everybody else. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm talking to these lawyers. And, like, at this point, I'm having, like, a panic attack, because I've been holding this information in. The only person I had told at that point were like two close friends and my husband. No one else knew what was going on. And so I'm talking to the lawyers, and then more lawyers start coming in the room. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And so finally, all of the partners are in the room with me, and they're like, you know you have a whistleblower's lawsuit, right? Like, this could be huge. And so they're talking to me some more. They said, well, your name is not Jones or Smith. It is Cawthorn. So before we file this paperwork, you might want to think about it. I'm like, yeah, let me go talk to my family. So I literally get on to the elevator. And the lawyer's office was in Virginia. So I get on to the elevator, and God immediately says to me, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for to file this paperwork? Those kids in your building, because let me just tell you, there were some kids in my building who were in eighth grade and were 15 and could not read on a second grade reading level. So I'm like, those kids are you. If it wasn't for your firm Baltimore City education, you would not be here today. What are we waiting for? So I literally step off of the elevator in a lawyer's office, and I call them, and the secretary is like, Mrs. Cawthorn, there's no way you're back in Baltimore. Like, you just left here 5 minutes ago. And I said, tell them to file the paperwork. And so she's like, hold on, let me get one of the partners. And the partner comes on like, What? Like, are you sure? I'm like, I am sure. So they filed the paperwork, and in July of 2011, I quit DC, which was interesting because if we go back a few months, I had demanded that when the official test came, that I had increased security, that I had new personnel. I wanted to make sure that we were really taking the test. So when I increased security, the test scores for that year for that school dropped 30%. Right. Those were the real test scores. So technically, DC should have fired me, but I quit. So I quit. I'm so burned out. I want nothing to do with education. I don't want to open a book. I don't want to talk about education. So I open a gourmet cupcake shop in Ellicott City with another principal. So we open this cupcake shop, and people are coming in like, oh, my God, this must be your dream. Like, you must love it. And I'm screaming inside like, no, I walked away from my doctorate. Like, I love education. So I do that for a little while, and then I have a friend call and said, hey, there's some research going on. You should take part of it. It's in Baltimore City. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm back in my groove. I'm working with principals. I'm in schools. And so I'm good. So I close the cupcake shop because I really love education. But then the grant for that job runs out. And I'm like, but I'm good. Remember, Baltimore County, Howard County, Montgomery County, I can do this. People know my work. And I start applying for jobs, and I keep getting rejection after rejection because I had been blackballed in K-12. And so I, you know, okay, I file for unemployment. That runs out. Okay, savings runs out. And then I get a notice that my house is going into foreclosure. And I'm cry for 3 days. Like, I have a 12-year-old son, what do you mean? And so then I'm trying to get that together. I'm like, okay. So in the meantime, I have a girlfriend who says, hey, you are really good. You should adjunct at Loyola. Loyola, where I was a secretary in 1988? Okay, well, hey, I don't have anything to lose. So in the meantime, I start adjuncting at Loyola. I'm making $700 a month. And I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to live off of this? And then I am told I have to apply for welfare. And I cry for 3 more days. But then the happy ending, because there is one, to this story is that I adjuncted at Loyola for 2 semesters. I got a call into the dean's office, and he basically say, we need you here. Will you come on full time? And so what I want to leave you with tonight is be bold in your convictions, but more importantly, be brave in your actions.